What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Boy, it is so good to be back regular time. And I say that even though next Sunday we're preempted again. Go figure. Football season will be over soon. One way or the other, it'll be over soon. But it's good to be back. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us here this evening at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the principles that drive liberals crazy. The stuff that make Karens Karens. The stuff that triggers libs. You know, limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and worst of all, traditional values. You know, the things that make them scream. Oh, I love them. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330. Going to take calls all throughout the show tonight, so feel free to call. You can also email me at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social, at The John Whitmer Show, and on X, at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. I have all the apps open on my computer here. And you can, so if you message me throughout the show, I will respond. We'd love to hear from you. Also, don't forget, I just wrote some of my commentaries for the week, so make sure you listen to the carry-on commentaries. And again, sorry to do it to you, but we will be preempted next Sunday. But we should be back the rest of December. I don't think there's going to be any other flexing. Chiefs have already clinched, so we should be good. So rest of December, we will be here for you. For the rest of tonight, we've got a great show planned. Jeremy Portnoy, who's an investigative journalist from OpenTheBooks.com, which is one of these government watchdog agencies that tracks federal spending, will be with us to share the results of a new report that exposes taxpayer-funded censorship and how the federal government has been using your tax dollars to silence your voice. Kansas State Senator Renee Erickson will be with us to respond to Governor Kelly's comments this week. On Monday, she called for no new taxes in 2025. Yeah, Laura Kelly's really in touch with mainstream Kansas, isn't she? Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will tell us how MSNBC's reliably liberal audience is tuning out the network with a staggering 54% drop in primetime viewership. Oh, it couldn't happen to a nicer network since Election Day. And with property tax bills arriving in taxpayer mailboxes starting this week, we'll talk with Sedgwick County Commissioner-elect Jeff Blueball about the chances of seeing meaningful property tax relief next year. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we had Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a happy, joyful, and tryptophan-filled Thanksgiving. Phil, did you have a good
day? I did.
Good,
I
good.
Had a fantastic Thanksgiving.
So did I. My wife outdid herself yet again, as she always does. Had a great Thanksgiving. And as families gathered around their dining room tables this Thanksgiving, it is, you saw some of these tweets and posts on social media where some of the Trump derangement syndrome sufferers weren't going to their family Thanksgivings, but there was still much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. And I saw a rather amusing article recently that came out where they expressed some of the things that, you know, folks can be grateful for, particularly beginning next January 20th. And so I wanted to share with you things that we can be grateful for, thanks to the victory from November. So we can be grateful there are no cabinet posts for people like for, you know, Trump derangement syndrome sufferer, excuse me, Liz Cheney. I'm grateful. Pardon me. Liz Cheney, who burned her Republican bridges by campaigning for Kamala Harris, will not be in the White House or in the cabinet, because I guarantee you Cheney would have been the token Republican, quote unquote. She didn't get one. We dodged that one. Admiral Richard Levine, the Assistant Secretary of Health, the Health and Human Services. This is the man who dresses up like a woman. Well, she is out of a job on January 20th. There's something to be grateful for. For that matter, Transportation Secretary Mayor Pete will be bicycling his way back to South Bend, Indiana. There's something to be grateful for. All those complaints, by the way, that Trump's cabinet posts are not qualified, just point them over to Mayor Pete, because he was about as qualified as, you know, a paper bag. Tom Homan, he's Trump's pick to he's going to be the border czar. In January, he will replace Kamala Harris as border czar. There's something to be grateful for. He's actually been to the border, knows what he's talking about, will actually shut down illegal immigration. He actually knows where the border is.
But wait, she said she wasn't the border.
That's right. That's right.
I guess it depends on the day, right?
That's true. That's true. Because she, Tom Homan can actually spell the border. That means the ends of open borders. There's something else to be grateful for. Governor Tim Walz won't get to redefine masculinity. There's something to be grateful for. We won't have to, watch him try and load a shotgun anymore. So that hopefully, we get to be done with him. Senator Chuck Schumer is now in the minority in the United States Senate. We won't have to listen to him ramble on and sleep his way through Senates as the Senate majority leader. The Democrats' far left legislative agenda is at least on ice for hopefully the next 4 years, since even if they somehow were able to get control of both the House and the Senate, Trump would veto anything they came up with. So at least for the next 4 years, their legislative agenda is dead on arrival. There's something to be grateful for. Here's one. Title IX will actually be used to defend women's rights for a change. There's something to be grateful for. I've got one along these lines. San Jose State University women's volleyball team lost in the championship round. The man who played on the team lost to a biologically female team. There's something to be grateful for. The guy deserved it. Shouldn't have been played in the first place. DEI, deservably, will be kicked to the curb across the federal government in the second Trump term when Pete Hegseth takes over as Secretary of Defense. DEI will be dishonorably discharged from the Pentagon. the military will actually be used to, oh, I don't know, kill things and take land and actually do what the military's there for, much less drag queen events and things like that will probably be no longer appropriate in the United States military. A gaggle of left-wing celebrities who promised to leave the country if Trump wins, well, hopefully, they'll leave the country. There's something to be grateful for. It remains to be seen how many of them will actually make good on the promise, but if they do, there's something to be grateful for. The long overdue end of Mitch McConnell's, you know, whatever his issues have been mentally, but at least he's no longer Senate Republican leader. We might actually get a leader in the leadership in the Senate. And of course, lastly, speaking of Thanksgiving dinners, we can truly be thankful that we won't be force-fed 4 years of Kamala Harris's indigestible word salads. That's something to be grateful for. Ugh, no more Kamala Harris. We'll take a quick break, and then Jeremy Portnoy, investigative journalist from OpenTheBooks.com, will share the results of a new report that exposes taxpayer-funded censorship and how the federal government is using your tax dollars to silence your voice. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. I tell you, it's a great organization. They do great work. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. A new report from OpenTheBooks.com has quantified federal spending to study and combat, quote, misinformation beginning in 2017. At least $273 million has been spent on grants and contracts, including the term. Now, the big question is who defines what misinformation is, but $127 million has been spent specifically on research and on-the-ground efforts to counter COVID-related misinformation and help people overcome it by following public health recommendations, of course, from the government, because we can all trust the government, of course. You know, trust the science, after all. With us now to answer those questions is Jeremy Portnoy, investigative journalist from OpenTheBooks.com. Jeremy, thank you for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So, since 2021, the Biden-Harris administration has spent $267 million on research grants with the term misinformation in the proposal. Is that right? $267 million, and of course, it's whatever they define as misinformation, right?
Right. And the scary part, like you mentioned, John, is that there's really no objective way to classify something right as misinformation, right? There's a very fine line between something that's objectively untrue and something that the government just doesn't want you to know. That's a lot of money going into suppressing free speech and arguably towing the line into direct censorship.
Right. Well, and especially with the funds related to COVID, because there was so much unknown. I mean, it was, you know, 3 weeks to flatten the curve and don't wear a mask, wear two masks, get the shot, don't get the shot. You know, some those of us who've never been vaccinated never will. There was just so much bad information. Who decides what's misinformation and what isn't?
Right. Exactly. I mean, even now, there's still new studies coming out about COVID. We're learning more all the time.
Right.
So there's a very big difference, right, between promoting what the government wants you to know and suppressing any opinion that disagrees with them. It's one thing for the government to tell you, hey, we think you should get the vaccine. We think you should wear a mask. It's another thing entirely for them to spend $127 million to restrict the viewpoint of anyone who's trying to tell them otherwise.
Or try and punish you if you say something different. Or in one particularly brazen instance, $200,000 was spent slandering Trump, correct? This is taxpayer money. Is that right? I mean, this report's very exhaustive, but they found instances like that where they were literally spending taxpayer money attacking people.
Right. That's $200,000 that went to George Washington University to conduct a study on how populist leaders, such as Trump and a few other examples from around the world, supposedly divided society during the pandemic and studying the supposedly negative effects that that had. So, again, that's, you know, I mean, we could go back and forth over whether that's true, but they're deciding that anyone who says differently and that populist leaders did not divide people, they're saying that's misinformation and that shouldn't be seen as the truth online or in schools or anywhere else.
You know, I love joking, and it's sad, but I love talking about, you know, these are the people who said for years to trust the science, and now they are also the same people that believe in 92 genders. But it's, when you look at some of the spending, I mean, $750,000 from the National Science Foundation for Fact Champ, a fact checker. And again, who defines what the facts are? Because these same people would say that the fact are there's more than two genders, that they're, you know, I mean, it's so subjective, and yet they're spending hundreds of thousands, well, hundreds of millions of dollars of our money on this nonsense.
Yeah, I think those grants from the National Science Foundation are some of the most alarming ones in here. You mentioned one. There's another in here, $13 million we spent to try and create AI-powered censorship. That's a direct quote that can automatically go online, restrict certain viewpoints, promote others from the second something is posted before it even reaches the general public.
We're talking with Jeremy Portnoy, investigative journalist with OpenTheBooks.com. Can you give us some other examples of this type of abuse of taxpayer dollars?
Well, a lot of it is COVID, like we discussed, right? That was about half the spending. It spiked in 2021. It's been slowly decreasing each year since then. But a lot of that then branches off from COVID into studying what they're saying are the root causes of COVID misinformation and other misinformation. So there's $2.5 million here for the University of Pennsylvania, for example, to identify what they said was COVID misinformation and spreading around black communities, rural communities, sectioning off these specific groups of people and trying to determine how supposedly these people were getting fake information. Of course, then based on science that some would say has turned out to be shaky over the last few years.
Well, we have to assume or hope, rather, that the new DOGE agency will help prevent this kind of waste, you know, kill off some of this kind of spending. Isn't that the general premise of the purpose of this agency, Jeremy?
Yeah, they're certainly going to try. I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic, right? Because the most important thing here is accountability and actual action. I mean, at Open the Books, we've been identifying waste like this for close to a decade now. So DOGE is going to have a similar mission, but it's going to be a matter of whether they can take the next step and see if they can make some changes in Washington and get Congress to stop funding these lethal initiatives.
So you mentioned the organization. It's OpenTheBooks.com. I know that your tagline is every dime online in real time. That you really, and it's not, you don't make policy decision or commentary. It's not a commentary site. It's literally just trying to a transparency site, basically. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do, what your goal is?
Yeah, so at Open the Books, we file about 60,000 Freedom of Information requests every year to capture every dime the government spends, whether that's grant spending, salaries, pensions. So, yes, we call it a transparency revolution. We're trying to get everyone in the country to be aware how every dollar gets spent, because once you have full transparency, that's when you can really go and say, hey, this is not right. I'm paying taxes. This is not where it should be spent. It shouldn't be funding, you know, it shouldn't be suppressing misinformation. It shouldn't be funding nonsense studies. So that's when people can then take action and force Congress to do something about it.
Well, that's exactly right. I remember the last time we really were delving into this kind of stuff, where we were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on things like the Michelle Obama Trail and LGBTQ projects. And those were all as part of the essential spending that was necessary. Basically, pork barrel projects that were only being used to buy people's votes in Congress. And it's that kind of stuff that if voters don't know about it, they can't stop that kind of nonsense.
Exactly. I mean, we're uncovering new stuff every week. We just had a report come out about Dr. Anthony Fauci is still receiving a $15 million security detail as a private citizen. We've got reports on earmarks, like you talked about, reports on improper payments, $1 trillion in Biden's administration sent away by mistake to the wrong person or for the wrong amount. And it happens every day, and you just don't realize. So that's why we really need a true transparency revolution, because once people are made aware, we really believe that's when things will transform.
Well, and I know that even on his way out, Biden's got, I just saw an article today where Joe Biden has planned to give hundreds of millions of dollars worth of new spending and weaponry to Ukraine. And he's just basically instructed them to give everything you can to Ukraine before I go, because he's afraid of what Trump will do. Well, but that's not the point. You lost. You lost because there was a mandate. But hey, before I go, let me do as much damage as I can. So it's, I'm glad to have organizations like yours. Again, if folks are interested, Jeremy, they can find you at openthebooks.com, correct?
That's correct. And you can head to openthebooks.substack.com as well. That's where we've got some of our longer reports, like this misinformation report we've been discussing.
Jeremy, I appreciate you joining us, my friend, especially taking time on your Thanksgiving holiday. Appreciate you joining us, brother.
I appreciate it too, John.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. What's left of it, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas State Senator Renee Erickson will be with us to respond to Laura Kelly's, you could say comments, you could say demand, on Monday when she called for no new tax cuts next year. That's going to happen. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you ever miss a part of a show, don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all of our shows. We post single episodes, single hours, the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the always free Odyssey app to get started. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, on Monday, Governor Laura Kelly called for no new tax cuts in 2025. This comes after she spent $2 million and affiliated groups spent another $1 million in the last last election trying to break the supermajority and failing miserably. The only election she did win was to defeat her own minority leader. Talk about completely out of touch. With us now to respond to the governor's orders that they not pass any new tax cuts is State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, we appreciate you taking its time away from your holiday weekend to join us here this evening. Senator, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, I did, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
Where do I begin with this? The specific phrasing that she used was that you guys need to, quote, just take a breath and wait. You know, it's hard to breathe when you're overtaxed. What's she thinking, Renee?
Well, John, I wish I knew. You know, I worked across the state door knocking in every district from every corner, and I can tell you without an exception, property tax relief was the number one issue.
Yeah.
And it just shows again that, you know, the governor's out of touch with everyday Kansans. It showed in the results of the election, and it showed in her saying, hey, don't take up the number one issue that people are clamoring for.
Right.
So I'm not sure what she's thinking, to be honest, John.
No, you're absolutely right. As you know, my wife and I knocked on thousands of doors this same election cycle. People weren't telling us we need less, you know, we're taxed enough, we're just fine. No, they were saying the exact same thing. We need property tax relief. We need income tax relief. I mean, you know, let me guess, the governor wants you to do Medicaid expansion, which again was an issue nobody was talking about at the doors. I just don't understand what she's thinking, what her priorities are.
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's great to see her try to be fiscally responsible in an area, because I've never known her to, you know, use caution when it comes to spending on things that she wants. So for her to say, we're not going to give the money back to the people it belongs to, the taxpayers, when we, you know, she's touting this surplus and we have the ability to do so, it just is falling on deaf ears. And I can assure you that Republicans will lead a charge to lower Kansas property taxes early this upcoming session.
I'm glad you brought up the surplus, because I would understand, I would probably still disagree with her, but I would understand if she was trying to be fiscally responsible and say, hey, you know, we can't afford tax cuts. But, and you know, this isn't, they're going to, you know, bring up the whole Brownback thing again, but this isn't 2015. You guys are sitting on, depending on the numbers, upwards of $4 to $5 trillion in reserves, and that's above and beyond the rainy day fund. You've got plenty of money. You can certainly afford to give some property tax relief, maybe do a cap on, you know, like a 4% cap on new taxes. You could do maybe something for seniors or people on a fixed income. I just, again, I'm coming back to this. I don't understand why she feels like she can't give this. The only thing I can come back to is she wants to spend it.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. She wants to spend it, but she needs to be reminded, and we will remind her frequently, it's not her money. It's not the government's money. And people, everyday Kansans, having that extra money in their pockets, it will spur more economic growth than some bloated bureaucratic government program. And so we will make sure that it gets back into the hands of the rightful owners, which are the taxpayers of Kansas.
By the way, we're talking with State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, I think you nailed it right there. She thinks, and typical of most Democrats, they think that they know how to spend our money better than we do. So let's talk, and as you know, I'm going to be up there. Our good friend John Eck is sponsoring the John Whitmer Show. We're going to be up there broadcasting from Topeka one Sunday a month. The first one will be on January 12th, because you guys are going back on the 13th. And I've talked to the Speaker of the House. I've talked to Senate President Ty Masterson. I know that your plan is to get started right away. And one of the main issues, the two main issues that I've heard, are passing the plan so that the legislature can do their own budgeting. And the second one is property tax relief. What other issues do you think are going to be main priorities as you move forward with the 2025 session?
Yeah, John, we have an aggressive agenda, and those two things you mentioned are going to be, you know, first out of the gate. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to hit the ground running with those two things. In addition, I'm sure we'll take up the gender mutilation bill that the governor vetoed and we weren't able to override last session. We will override it, so I anticipate that will come early in the session as well.
If I can interrupt you, and you think you can override it this time in part because of the legislative or the election victories, right? Because part of the reasons those didn't pass, the overrides didn't pass, was because some of our quote-unquote Republicans who didn't vote to override are now gone, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a common sense issue. Kansans understand that it's not right for young people to be making life-altering changes before they turn 18. And that's all the bill says, is you need to be 18 before you make a decision like that. And I think people realize that's important. We don't allow minors to do a lot of things that they're not ready to make that decision on. And this is no different. So
I like the fact that you call it gender mutilation instead of what the left likes to call it, which is gender-affirming care, which is a complete misnomer.
Absolutely. I mean, let's call it what it is. And it is gender mutilation. And so I look for that to come up early. I think we will start work. I'm excited about working on a new school finance formula. I was named to that 11-member committee. We have to have a new school finance formula by January 11th, 2027. So that will start heating up here pretty quick, and look forward to working on that.
You know, I'm glad, again, this is another thing, because you and I both know that the current system, is frankly unsustainable. We're throwing more and more money at the K through 12 system. It's not changing outcomes. It's not changing performance. Our students are sadly still not college and career ready. The performance metrics are still at or below standards and not improving. So clearly throwing more and more money isn't solving the problem. We do need to work on finding some way to put accountability into the funding formula.
Yes, and I'm excited because the statute actually charges this committee with not just looking at the formula itself, but looking at outcomes of the formula. And so I think that's been the missing key, is we haven't focused on student outcomes. We've only focused on how much money we're putting in, not what we're getting for that money. And we are charged by statute to look at the outcomes, make sure that we're using the money to help the kids achieve what we say that we should be doing, starting out of the gate in my books with literacy. And I got the latest ACT results, John, and it's the lowest I think it's ever been in the history of our state. Mm. Statewide, out of our 2024 graduates, only 18% were college and career ready, according to the ACT. 18%. That's unacceptable. Our kids deserve better. So I see this as a golden opportunity to make sure that the kids are getting the quality education they deserve.
Yeah, the schools love to tout graduation rates, but if they need remedial training the minute they get to college, then are we really graduating them with preparing them for, you know, higher education? The other problem, though, Renee, you and I both know, is if we're going to tackle some of these issues, we're going to have to deal with the courts. Because the way the courts are now, the first time you guys bring up funding formula, schools, the KNEA, the KASB are going to sue the taxpayers for more taxpayer money with taxpayer money. So I think also then, part and parcel, we're going to have to look at change judicial selection. Is that something that you guys are going to consider?
There is talk, John. You know, it's been tried several times before, but we are definitely not going to give up on that. We're the only state in the country that does it the way we do. It's secretive. It's not the way it should be done, and it does need to change. I will say, though, that since Gannon, we do have data that shows what Gannon instructed the schools to do has not happened. The kids that were the focus of that, at-risk students, they have not improved, even with court-defined adequate funding. And so I think we have a good argument of saying, look, we put the money in, we didn't get the results we should. And I think the courts will be receptive to that. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture is we do have to change how we select our Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, either a direct elect or federal model. I'm kind of a fan of direct elect. So let's let the people have the say. But Renee, I appreciate you again. Thank you for taking your time on a holiday evening, on a Sunday night, to join us. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to stay in touch, what's the best way for them to reach out?
They can email me at my Senate address, or I'm on Facebook and X.
I appreciate you as always. Thank you again for taking your time. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
I did. Same to you. And thanks again for having me on.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Pleased with the outcome? Studio lines are open. Pleased with the outcome of that call in the recent elections? Do you agree with Laura Kelly? Do we not need any property tax relief? Do we not need any income tax relief? Or do you think Renee's right, and you think it's something they need to take up, or they should take up? Or should they follow Laura Kelly's orders? Yeah, I imagine where this is going. Studio lines are open. I want to hear from you. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too.
At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP is a community of millions of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up, get involved, and get activated. Help out where you can. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. That'll teach me to, no, I told you, Phil, no hot toddies in my coffee when we're on the air. Time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
Well, now. It is time, maybe past time. Where in the world did the Dems think they could insult the masses and win an election? Okay, the shiny object didn't win. Dems will never stop giving their opinions on false claims and lies. It was a landslide victory per Reagan. Okay, here is reality. President-elect Trump must engage as we know he will. The Honorable Mike Pompeo deserves a front row seat in the Trump administration. His stint as Secretary of State was our nation's best. He is a real leader. I hope he is willing to serve once again. He will do our country proud. We conservatives have the wheel. We must show our mettle. Leadership is Mike Pompeo. We deserve the best of the best. Secretary Pompeo is just that leader.
Well, you know, he may not be in the Trump administration, but there is a governor's election coming up. Who knows? It's a long list. It's a long list at this point. Trust me. It is that time of year. Sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are now available. If you'd like more information, you can email me, john@knssradio.com. One of our new sponsors is Eck Insurance. They are sending us up to Topeka. We will be broadcasting live one Sunday a month starting on January 12th. We'll be broadcast. Phil will be here in Topeka or here in Wichita. I will be in Topeka. We broadcasting live starting one Sunday a month. So I'm looking forward to
that. I think that will be interesting.
I think it's going to be cool. Yeah. It'll bring a very new perspective to the show, I think, to have us up there. So, all right. I got to share this. Yeah. He did it. For those of you who haven't heard, who haven't seen, Joe Biden did it. Big shock. President Biden pardoned his son Hunter earlier this evening, about 6 o'clock, using the power of his office to wave aside years of legal troubles, including a federal conviction for illegally buying a gun and pleading guilty to federal tax evasion. The pardon means Hunter Biden won't be sentenced for his crimes and eliminates any chance of his being sent to prison, which was a very distinct possibility. I mean, this is like the ultimate act of nepotism. Comes after Biden had repeatedly promised not to pardon Hunter, going so far as to say he had, quote, too much respect for America's judicial system to interfere. So that's according to multiple media outlets. The White House has not. I'm looking to see if they. Yes, they did issue the official statement here. Let's see, by pardoning his son, Biden reneged on a public promise that he made repeatedly before and after dropping out of the, well, yeah, cause it's now, you know, he can get away with it. Quote, today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter, full and unconditional pardon, according to a copy of the executive grant of clemency by pardoning his son, yada, yada, yada. Let's see here. In the statement, Biden said he decided to issue the pardon because his son was selectively and unfairly prosecuted. He was treated differently, and that the Congress instigated the charges to attack me and oppose my election. Gee. So what he's saying is that his political opponents weaponized the justice system against him. Does that remind you of anybody? Huh. I thought the Justice Department wasn't ever weaponized for political purposes. We've been hearing that from the media for months now. And yet here we have Joe Biden saying that the Justice Department was weaponized against him politically. Phil, haven't we heard another president saying that the Justice Department was weaponized, and Joe Biden for years has been saying that wasn't the case?
Oh, yeah.
Where have I heard that before?
Mm.
I'm trying to Reagan? No, it wasn't Reagan. Carter, maybe? Clinton? No, no. No, Clinton was the one having sex with the interns. Trying to think where I've heard. Oh, Trump! Oh, that's right!
Of course.
Wow. This is the hypocrisy here is just so. Biden said his political opponents instigated the charges to attack me and oppose my election. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. I mean, we knew this was coming, but still. It's the fact that he did it is just sort of like, okay, I mean, we knew you were going to do it. Nobody bought it when you were saying you wouldn't. We knew that if the only way he wouldn't have done this is if Kamala Harris had won, then he wouldn't have done it. He would have just waited and let Kamala Harris do it so that he could then say, oh, I didn't pardon her. Kamala Harris pardoned him. But still, it's the whole thing is laughable. It's such a joke. But, you know, it's fine. I mean, you can't hate the guy. He's an octogenarian who's not all there mentally and feels sorry for his son. So what can you do? You know, I feel sorry for him. I've got a little over a minute here. I'll take a quick call. Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Happy Thanksgiving, Pat. Pat, you there? There we are. There we go. Hi, Pat.
Country. I'm so grateful to have somebody interested in our borders, and he's going to need all of
them. Oh, yes.
Kansas help, too. Once we get into March and November, or March and February, we don't want snow tires going around. We'll need an executive order.
Yes.
We'll need an executive order from the governor protecting Kansas residents from the terrorism that's been going on in other states, the terrorized rural residents.
Well, if we're going to need an executive order from this governor, then we're going to be in trouble. Pat, Laura Kelly doesn't seem to think we have an immigration problem. If she had her druthers, she'd welcome them here with open arms. So I'm hoping that we don't rely on her for that, Pat. We'll take a quick break, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Reminder, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Joining us now is Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Well, hopefully you've recovered from your tryptophan-induced malaise. Curtis, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Hope it was the same for you.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving as well, brother. So, Curtis, I gotta ask, first off, it's gotta be amusing watching the blame game. You know, I mean, following the Trump's landslide, the networks have just been, it's so hilarious watching all of this. Oh, it's his fault, it's her fault, MSNBC, the networks, they just, everybody's trying to point blame at who's responsible for this laughing stock.
Oh, I mean, that Pod Save America interview this week with the Harris campaign and Biden,
yes,
Biden campaign officials was magical. And it's just perfect distillment of the inability for Democrats to accept blame. You know, at one point they were complaining that, oh, nobody was upset that Donald Trump didn't do mainstream media interviews, but they were upset with us. And then when we did sit down, it was almost like insulting to us. They were asking her these very soft and ancillary questions. And you're like, well, yes, because you guys hit her in a broom closet for months on end. And then when she did come out, you know, you got to kind of start from scratch here.
Right.
Yes, they're going to be soft, but you do have to start somewhere. And also this goes to the fact that there was an administration that kept her in the broom closet for 3 years. I mean, yes, she did some interviews early on, but that, I think after that Lester Holt interview where she talked about, you know, not going to the border, but she's never been to Europe or whatever, that if you're the Biden team, you're like, oh, geez. And that's exactly what they did. They in the Franklin Four book that came out, you know, a very sympathetic book to the Biden team, but it did make clear that Kamala Harris was not exactly the most prepared person. She wouldn't read her briefing books. And then when she would clearly get the gist in meetings that she didn't know what she was talking about, she'd get angry at her staff. And her staff would be like, well, we gave you the information. You chose not to read. You chose not to pay attention. Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character in the Simpsons movie did say, I was elected to lead, not to read. But, you know, in kind of these cases, you actually do have to read if you don't know the stuff forwards and backwards. In which case, Kamala Harris definitely falls into that category.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, by the way, the I don't know what you say. I guess the best term for it is train wreck, dumpster fire, or whatever. That video that she released. I mean, gosh, mm-hmm. Maybe she was drunk. I don't know. But did you see this, whatever it was that she put out?
Yeah, it came out Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, it was atrocious. Night. Who?
I mean, this is insane.
Yes.
This is like sabotage. Who at the DNC thought this was a good idea to release this video?
It was terrible.
Like, honestly. It's insane. It's remarkable, like, how, you know, people on Twitter on Wednesday were putting up side-by-side pictures of,
yes,
you know, her official government headshot and what she looked like in this. And she kept talking in circles about power. You still have that power inside of you. Like, what is this, Pokemon or something?
Don't get me wrong, Curtis. I've lost an election. Trust me, it's hard. It's tough. I get it. But just go away then. Don't do this. This is, holy cow. I mean, whoa,
like,
it's
normally
bad.
Normally, like, I remember in 2012, yes, Mitt Romney, you know, turned out to be, but, like, the point is, though, he didn't really make much of a big public speech, big public appearance until that following February or March at CPAC.
Right.
So that was, like, what, like, you know, 4 or 5 months or something like that? Whereas Kamala Harris, it's barely been a month. You know, and I think the other tell, though, John, is it didn't come up on the broadcast networks on Wednesday morning or Tuesday night in those
right.
the first immediate news cycles. The fact that that didn't come up meant, ooh, my yeah. colleague Tim Graham did a search of transcripts, at least on ABC and CBS. And of those two networks, Kamala Harris's name has only come up once on their morning or evening newscast since, you know, the first couple, you know, since the week after the election. And it was CBS mornings to point out Ebony magazine made her like, I don't know, it was something like power of the, you know, power 100, you know, idol of the year or something crazy like that, which is interesting that you would release that, meaning they probably thought she was going to win and then she didn't. And so now they look really stupid. But other than that, her name has barely come up on these morning and evening shows.
Yeah, they're truly trying to cover for her. Couple other media related questions I wanted to ask you about. I saw from you guys released a little bit of information about the ratings, and I saw that this doesn't surprise me, but MSNBC's that they're so reliably liberal that they've had a staggering 54% drop in primetime viewership. Is that maybe why they're now getting to a point that NBC is thinking about spinning them off or selling them? Is that why?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things going on here. One is a wider issue with all of cable. It's cord cutting. You know, that's a lot of people are just tuning out and giving up cable to begin with. So that's part of it. But also, yes, it's the ratings, John. You know, just like with newspapers, cable outlets make their money in part in addition to ratings, but like in cable subscriptions, money from, you know, cable companies, but also from advertisements. And if you're a company, corporation looking to advertise and it's a very small audience, you have to think to yourself, what is the return on investment on this? And people, it's a smaller and smaller chance of really seeing that return. And you have these salaries that, you know, can be $3, $5, $10, $20 million, $25 million
for some. What's her name?
The overhead is too much.
Rachel Maddow is making $20 million for, and talk about somebody who's just toxic.
Right, exactly. And she does her show one day a week. You know,
right.
She's been doing that for a few years now, which is just absolutely insane. Whoever her agent is, like, I want them.
That's because, a heck of a deal. You know, yeah. We're talking
$5 million a year guaranteed.
We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, I want to ask you about another story. I saw, again, media-related story. CNN has announced that liberal anchor Caitlin Collins has been named their chief White House correspondent. She barely hides her disdain for the president-elect. They've sparred multiple times. To his credit, Trump has put her in her place multiple times. What is CNN doing by putting her as the White House correspondent? They're clearly, I mean, sort of like Ducey did to, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre. Are they intentionally trying to antagonize the president? What are their thoughts behind this?
Well, that's clearly what they're doing. A couple of things, you know, on the ratings front, on Monday this past week, they had their lowest non-holiday primetime viewers. The Nielsen numbers were 358,000 folks in total viewers and 60,000 in the 25 to 54 demo. You want well into the six digits. That's what you want. You want, you know, 3 million, maybe 4 million back in the day. So 358,000 and 60,000. For the 25 to 54 is not great. With Caitlin Collins, she's part of that problem. She's, I think, 32, 33 years old. She's basically my age. She started at the Daily Caller, folks. I think that point is not driven home enough with her. She started at the Daily Caller.
Right.
You watch some of her appearances on Fox and Friends, you know, talk about George Soros and all sorts of things. Her views have completely changed, you know, and when she was at the Daily Caller, our friends at the Daily Caller, I love them dearly, but they kind of have sometimes have these clickbait stories about celebrities. And she was the editor of a section called The Smoke Room, which I affectionately refer to, you could say, as side cleavage slideshows about award show wardrobe things. And Caitlin Collins would sometimes write those kinds of articles. So what humble beginnings, John, that
right.
from there
right.
to now this, you know, this girl power dynamic is exactly what they're going to be going for. Caroline Levitt, the press briefing room, I have full faith that she's going to take her on. I just think it's pretty pathetic to, again, continuing doubling down on the things that people have tuned out.
Right.
People are tuning away from. You think when something's not going right in your life, you know, you want to make changes. But these cable networks are unfortunately like the friends we all know that, like, they just don't have their lives together.
Right. Well, it's like the people, these women who are shaving their heads and giving up sex and because they haven't, they're not learning the lesson of this massive election where Donald Trump was given a mandate. He won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. And the media's got the same. They're still not learning the lesson. They're, it's like, you know, the Democrats right now that are going around stacking the courts and trying to pass legislation in the lame duck session who think that, that they haven't learned from the lesson of this last election.
Yeah, you know, a state over from y'all, a couple states over, you know, the mayor of Denver, Mike Johnson,
right,
is saying, oh, I will stand in front of the jails to prevent ICE from coming to get the criminals. Okay, buddy.
And Holman, who said, okay,
swear on everyone.
Yeah, Holman, who said, okay, if you want to go to jail, I'll be happy to arrest you. You know, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
And it's the white liberals. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Yeah, you got to love it.
It's remarkable.
Curtis, I appreciate you as always, brother, for joining us. If folks want to connect with you, obviously they can find you at newsbusters.org. And you guys always have great material and information available for folks. Appreciate you joining us on your post-Thanksgiving respite, my friend.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. If you haven't seen it yet, folks, we have some of the liberal media's worst quotes over the years about Thanksgiving. If you didn't see it already, if you can't get enough of it, give yourselves a good laugh.
Appreciate you, my friend. Carry on the fight, brother.
Absolutely, you as well.
We'll take a quick break, and then considering property tax bills begin arriving in taxpayer mailboxes this week, figured it'd be a good time to have a conversation with Sedgwick County Commissioner-elect Jeff Bluebaugh about the chances of seeing meaningful property tax relief in 2025. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Yeah, he's going to give me a hard time for this one. Oh, yeah, I know. I know. What can I say? So, yeah, we've been talking in a lot of these election cycles this last cycle. One of the major issues, we've talked about it already tonight with State Senator Renee Erickson, was property taxes. It's come up time and time again. In a recent article that came out just over the weekend here in the Wichita Eagle, there was an article about Wichita Eagle was about Sedgwick County. The article, according to Wichita Eagle, property owners in Sedgwick County are unlikely to see any significant county property tax relief in the next year. According to the Eagle, a public vote on a new sales tax to support county arts, culture, and recreational programming while lowering the property tax mill levy likely won't happen until 2026. Well, is that fair? Is that the right idea? Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk to next. With us now is Sedgwick County Commissioner-elect Jeff Bluebaugh. Jeff, thank you for joining us. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for joining us, my friend.
I did, John. Glad to be here. Hey, and thanks for the full disclosure there on the intro.
Yes. Well, so that's the, you know, and this article, by the way, did not mention you. Because you're not in office yet, but and I understand some of the concerns that current county commissioners have, which is that, you know, they don't want to, that in order to do this, they'd have to put it on a ballot and, you know, voters would have to vote to approve transitioning from property taxes to sales taxes. Now, it should be noted that this would not be a tax increase. It would be a dollar for dollar change. Rather than funding these entities like the zoo, Exploration Place, you know, these museums and whatnot, they would be funded through, rather than through property taxes, they would be funded through essentially user fees, consumption taxes, a sales tax. But that would have to go on the ballot. And the concern by some of the county commissioners is that that might get confusing to voters because they're already going to be voting on a property tax increase with the bond initiative from USD 259. You know, my take on it is run it anyway. We need property tax relief now. We can't afford to wait a year. What do you think?
Well, you know, I went through the old let's put it on a ballot and find out with a sales tax about 10 years ago when I was first elected to the city council. I was green. My colleagues said, you know what, go ahead and put it on the ballot. You're letting the voters decide whether they want this or not. My experience was everyone thought I was approving this and was promoting a sales tax. So,
right.
I'm a little gun shy again about jumping in there and you know, putting another sales tax out there. And, you know, lots of confusion. Like you said, we got a lot of bond votes coming up.
Right. I mean, they'd have to message it properly for sure. They'd have to make sure that people understood that this is, you know, a dollar for dollar, that the money would be, you know, lowering the mill in order, lower property tax in order to do a consumption tax. That would have to be key because you're right. Nobody wants new taxes.
Okay. So I look at the constituents in Sedgwick County Commission District 2. So City of Wichita or the school district, Wichita School District is going to have a bond vote.
Right, which is a tax increase.
My constituents that are in the Goddard School District are going to have a bond vote.
Which is another tax increase.
And my constituents in Hayesville schools are going to have another bond vote, which is another tax.
Right.
And we already have a 1 cent sales tax by the county.
Right. Yeah. It's and the problem you have is there's so many of these going on. But then the question is, how do we then get meaningful tax relief to people? Because I know what's going to happen here this week when people's property tax bills start coming. And once again, they've exceeded the revenue neutral rate. So you've got people who are going to sit there and go, wait a minute, all I've done for the last year is mow my lawn. And yet here again, I'm paying more in property taxes. You and I both know. And it's because these appraisal rates are out of control. The whole system is, you know, cattywampus. Property taxes go up because of revenue neutral rates, because of these jacked up appraisals, and all people are seeing, especially poor, low income folks on fixed incomes, all they're seeing is their property taxes going up and no one's being able to solve it or fix it.
Yeah. So you know, as I said during the campaign, and once I'm sworn in, it's gonna be the same message. Let's make sure we get that assessment value correct. And you know, I gave you the example during the campaign, whenever you look at the mill levy decrease, $4 per 100,000, we looked at a $300,000 home, the assessment went up to where their taxes went up $800, but they, you know, they only received relief for, you know, $300,000 times four, $12.
12 bucks, yeah.
The public understands that. We can't just do business as usual. We can't just, you know, I've already talked to the county manager. I know we're going to start the budget process early. We're talking about the beginning of February, but we got to do something different. It can't be the old slice of a mill levy cut that really doesn't mean anything to the taxpayers. You know, I mean, it's more of a talking point. It's not real demonstrated savings.
Right. Well, that's what in your recent campaign, that's what your opponent, that's what Sarah Lopez was. She campaigned on we lowered the mill levy. But when you looked at the dollar amount, it was like that. It was what? $8. And yet property taxes had gone up by hundreds. And that's what people were saying was, okay, whoopee-doo. And I talked to a county commissioner again today who said, well, we might do another mill levy cut, which would be another $20 or something, which is so insignificant when compared to the revenue neutral rate increases. And again, the county is not the biggest perpetrator here. It's the cities.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it's the school districts that, I mean, my Goddard school district property taxes have gone up 18%. The county's not the big perpetrator. It's the schools, number one, and the city's number two.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the same, just like you, John. I'm in the Goddard School District, paying the same taxes that you are, and I completely get it. And the county really does. They're in the crosshairs on this when they're really not receiving the biggest benefit of it, like you said.
Right, they're not.
Because the property tax bill comes through the county. Everybody views that, you know, the county's sitting on all the money. It's collaboration, consolidation. I understand they're saying 2025 may be a little early to start seeing these, but we've got to try.
Right.
We've got to do some outside-of-the-box thinking. Unless, you know, if we do like we've always done, we're going to continue to get the result that we've always gotten.
Well, and
that's not real property tax relief.
That is, as they say, the definition of insanity. We're talking with County Commissioner-elect Jeff Bluebaugh. You mentioned consolidation. Do you think that functional consolidation is one of the solutions? Looking at areas like parks and recreation, you know, fire, some of those areas where we can maybe start consolidating county and city services to reduce some spending?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think you start with the city of Wichita because that's you know, the big fish in the pond. And you know, I've had great discussions already with Councilmember Dalton Glasscock. I think Mayor Wu is got her eyes wide open to anything that we can do because they've got some budget deficits coming. So,
oh yeah, $22 million over the next 2 years.
We've got to lean out the processes. We've got to reduce the duplications, and we've just got to thin government.
Yep. Well, and I love the idea of shifting to sales tax dollars. Because I think right now you are too dependent on property taxes. I think the city is too. And the upside with shifting to sales taxes is it's consumption based versus property tax based. You know, in the case of a property tax that's funding some of these non-core services like the zoo or Exploration Place, something like that, you know, everybody's paying for that, but it's only the property taxes owners, the property owners in Sedgwick County. If you move to a consumption base, if you move to a sales tax base, if I don't want to go to EP or the zoo, then I don't have to pay for it. Conversely, visitors to Sedgwick County are paying for that. And so you're actually getting, you're broadening the base that way of people who are paying for that service. So I think it's a good idea. It's just, you know, how we can nuance this, how quickly we can implement it. Those are the real questions. Go ahead.
Yep. In theory, John, I completely agree. But whenever you look at the past, you know, the 1985 1 cent sales tax for Sedgwick County was sold as a way to drive across town without any stoplights. We're going to finish out Kellogg. Well, you know, and half of it was supposed to go to property tax relief. You know that has continued over the last 45 years has gotten scope creep, and it creeps a little and creeps a little.
Yep.
And that's my concern with going out there with a sales tax. And then we end up just, well, you know, we're going to continue to spend. Now, I do like some of the ideas the county's kicking around to ensure if we go this route, we've got a guardrail ourselves that says property tax dollars will not go toward any quality of life.
Amen.
We've got to ensure that future commissions are not going to change that. You know, you already hear discussions about the zoo. You know, whenever we had the elephant barn come up there on the agenda here a couple weeks ago.
Right, right.
And you hear from the commission, well, you know, in the late 60s, the public voted on that sales tax. Well, I think sometimes the interpretation changes a little bit over 50 or 60 years.
Right, yeah. They talk about not obligating future commissions. No, yeah, you're right. You do need to put the guardrails and restrictions so that if you do something like this, it can't be reappropriated because trust me, we've seen that in Topeka where the intentions were X and then somebody comes down the line and says, I'm going to take that money and spend it elsewhere. I know I've got to let you run. I know we're especially, I appreciate you taking time on a holiday weekend to join us. I do want to ask you one question. It's a conversation that has come up and, you know, I've talked to fellow conservatives and I'm, by the way, we're thrilled to have you and Stephanie Wise on the commission. I think it's going to be great to have, you joining, Jim Howell and Ryan Beatty to have a nice conservative block there. But one of the things a lot of us wanted to see, because this question's come up quite a bit. It came up at the Pachyderm Club, came up at a couple of other forums in the course of the election, is who's going to chair the county commission? And I brought it up actually when I was filling in for Steve McIntosh recently. And I know in a conversation, you and Stephanie were both on the show. I asked you both, what if you would vote for Jim Howell if he were to put his name up for chair? Are you still committed to that pledge?
Yeah. Yeah. First off, I want to say, John, I am excited to be working with this group. And a lot of people tell me, this is one of the better groups I think we've had.
I agree.
Kind of on the younger side of things, a lot of young professionals, a lot of great skill sets are going to be on this commission. So I'm looking forward to working with everyone. Whenever the discussion does come, I do believe that, Commissioner Howell is, he's proved himself. He's got the tenure. He's definitely the most governmental experience of anybody that's on the commission. 4 years on the legislature and his time on the county commission. He's very diligent. You look at him through the budget process last year, he was the one making the majority of the agendas. And I went through this or the motions whenever it comes to budget proposals. Whenever I was on the city council, we did the vice mayor on kind of a rotation. For the most part, you stick to that. And I believe the commission should be the same. It does appear that Commissioner Howell has been overlooked time and time again. And,
yes.
I'd certainly stand behind my statement that he deserves to be able to chair. And I think as we talk about doing something different than we've done in the past, let's have a different chair and see how that goes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know the politics behind it. It may just be personality. It may be that, in the past, because you know how it is, there's personalities and people rub people the wrong way. And Jim is very fastidious. He's one of the most well-read people I know. And it could be that, maybe he just is too analytical for some. But I'm like you. I've noticed that. I think more than you and I have noticed that he's been overlooked on this. And I think it's his time. It's just not that he deserves it because it's his time. I think he deserves it because he's earned the right to sit in that chair. And I hope that that's the direction that the commission goes. So I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. And this just isn't about Commissioner Howell.
No.
It's about his district. And the constituents, he goes out there and signs by petition to run for office every time. I mean, he does his, he has his coffee meet and greets with his constituents. I mean, he does a great job of outreach with his constituents. And I think it's more than just him. His district deserves to have a seat at the table to chair the county commission. I absolutely believe that.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's not, because it's not about Jim or Jim's ego, and he's probably would be embarrassed that I asked that question. But you're right. I like that you put it back, because it's not about him. It's not about an individual. It is about the district. And Jeff, I appreciate you guys. Well, this question is going to come up here pretty quick, too. You get sworn in here just after the first year, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's the 12th. So, yeah, we'll be having that vote, I think, around the 15th. So it'll be here before we know it.
Well, I will. We'll be watching, and I wish you the best of luck. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that, my friend?
Hey, I'm sure. So go ahead and call myself, 316-640-0656. I've been fielding calls the whole time, basically, since I got off the city council in January, and continue to do so, and want to have those discussions with constituents and anyone in the county.
That's a brave man right there. Jeff, I appreciate you, brother. Go back to your family. Thank you for spending a little time on your Thursday, rather your Thanksgiving weekend with us.
All right. Take care, John.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a quick break, pay a few bills, and I want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open. Do you think property tax relief should be a bigger issue in 2025? Or can the issue wait until 2026? 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates on the show. Ed, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. On this property tax,
yes,
you work 50 or 60 years all your life, and you reach 70 or 80 years old, and then I think the tax ought to be either cut in half or zero, unless you're a millionaire or something. But most guys just worked at jobs, and they didn't have a lot of money. But you can get old, and you can lose your house if you don't pay the taxes. So I think when you're 80 years or so, not a millionaire, well, I think that would just be 50% off or zero.
Yeah, I'm of a mindset. I kind of like the idea of what some states do and that capping it. Well, I certainly like the idea of capping it at 4% or some kind of annual cap for all homeowners. And then I like the idea of doing some sort of a zero for property tax on retirees, certainly veterans, something. I don't know how you do it. I'd have to look at it. But,
yeah.
There are states that do that for retirees. Because once you own your home and you're a retiree, I hate the idea of seeing retirees losing their homes because the government's essentially taxing them out of it.
That's crazy. So, I don't know.
And it does happen. And I like the idea of a cap on how much annual property tax increases can go up. I mean, it's especially with these revenue neutral rates. And Ed, I appreciate the call, brother. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. They've got to do something because keep in mind, folks, in most of these cases, it's not because they need the money. It's because they want the money. None of this is done because we're desperate, we're out of money. It's because we want to keep spending. It's the same thing in Topeka, and it's the same thing at the local, at the city and the county level. It's because they want to spend more. Look at the city of Wichita. Right now, the city of Wichita is facing a $22 million budget shortfall, and yet in the last 2 weeks, we've seen them spend $600,000 on a couple of porta-potties. You know? I mean... Last year, they spent $1.2 million on art for the water treatment center. Now, I actually agree with the new, they've got some new spending on the new police contract. That's a core service. You got to pay for your cops. You don't have to spend $1.2 million on art at the water treatment plant and $600,000 for crappers. I mean, you just don't. You have to prioritize. Cops, essential funding. Porta potties, non-essential funding. But you've got members of the Wichita City Council who just don't want to say no, who can't bring themselves to say no, who won't make the hard decisions. And sadly, one of them's got an R behind their name. That's the hard part. Is I know it's tough to make these hard votes. I've done it. I've had to take the tough votes. They're not easy. I've made the mistake of doing it, of making the wrong vote once. Won't ever happen again. So I've been there. I've fallen for the lies. I've made the mistakes before. I've been an elected official who got talked into a tax increase. I know what it's like. I've been there. I can relate to these elected officials who've been talked into bad votes. It happens. You can forgive it once. But when it happens repeatedly, time and time again, now it's an issue of I don't know if it's a matter of character or principle or backbone or whatever it is, but at some point you've got to stand up and stand on principle. Or we'll find somebody else who will. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. AFP is a community of millions of concerned citizens and volunteers just like you advocating for solutions based on our shared principles. If you want to get involved, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. While you're online, make sure that you take a moment to text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Jeff, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Good evening. Hey, I had a question about those, what are they, still three or four House elections that haven't been determined yet, three or four.
Oh, the federal one, the congressional races.
Yeah. Why would it take, if they haven't been decided yet, I don't know, maybe they already have, but there was like three or four that hadn't been decided yet, and it's already been a month. Well, why wouldn't they know a winner by now?
Well, I mean, there's a... You know, there's a reason. I could tell you the real reasons, and I could tell you what people, you know, what the theories, the tinfoil hat people will tell you. Look, if Florida can do, I can't the exact figure, something like 4 million votes and get it done on election day, there's no excuse for any other state. So I personally think that we should, election day should be a federal holiday, and it should be, you know, all of, I don't mind advanced balloting, but it has to be not postmarked by, but has to be received by the election office on election day. And any vote that comes in after is thrown out. It's just that simple. That's the way I view it. And I also think that there should be no more. I mean, we've been, I'll give you a great example. In one of these California races, the Republican had been winning for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, another dump of late advanced, whatever you want to call it, ballots came in, and now the Republicans losing by 100 votes. So, you know, I'm not one of these that, you know, Joe Biden was a legitimate president. Joe Biden won. Donald Trump lost in 2020. If you can't admit that, then I'm not going to call, you know, say any names or aspersions of anybody. But so I'm not going to say that there's some great conspiracy out there. But there is something to be said about why this takes. There's no excuse for why these take so long. And the longer it takes, then the appearance of impropriety starts to creep in. And the problem is, if we can't have faith in our elections, if you can't have faith in the integrity of our elections, you really start to undermine people's faith. And we can't afford to have that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I appreciate it. Your insight.
So thanks. I appreciate the call, Jeff. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I mean, that's my fear. Yes, we've secured at least 218 seats. So the Republicans are going to control the House. We've got control of the Senate. But, you know, this Derek Tran, who oust the Republican, Michelle Steele, in this Orange County House race. This was the one, California's 45th congressional district. It's one of the most expensive and contested seats, was finally decided 4 days ago. That's how long it's taken. 4 days ago. I mean, you know, weeks. And it was the third to last to be called in the country. There's still more as Orange County and Los Angeles County continue to count mail-in ballots. Steele's margin of victory shrank to 58 votes. And then Tran took the lead, basically. And now he's leading by 613 votes. So again, it's, here's the issue. A congressional seat shouldn't be decided by 600 votes. I know House districts that decided by that. I mean, I lost my race by 52 votes, and that was only after Governor Kathleen Sebelius spent $15,000 on 11 mailers in the last week, and that's what it takes to win a House seat. But in this case, you know, if you're spending this kind of money, we should be able to get these counted on election day, period. And the longer it takes to do this, the more people get suspicious. So I'm just, we're coming up here at the top of the hour break. I wanted to share one story with you, and it's disheartening. So I will warn you right now. I'm sure those of you are familiar with it. It's going to be one of my commentaries this week. But the Presidential Medal of Freedom is something that has been respected. It was established by John F. Kennedy in 1963 to honor civilian service. The award was originally the Harry S. Truman Medal of Freedom. It was intended to honor any person who has made an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interests of the United States or world peace or cultural or other significant public or private endeavor. So think of that as I tell you who was just recently awarded to. A person who made a meritorious contribution to the security or national interest, world peace, or cultural or significant private endeavor. The Medal of Honor was awarded this week by Joe Biden in a private ceremony to Cecile Richards, who from 2006 to 2018 was president of Planned Parenthood. During her time as president, 13.3 million babies were murdered. That's the priority of this president. Be glad that elections have consequences, folks. That's Joe Biden's priorities. There you go. No show next week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.